I'm Sina.
I'm Danielle.
We want to focus on television and movies in particular.
Yes. Disclaimer that we are in no way film experts. A deep, like, dive. Be quiet!
Whoa.
I'm yelling.
Back me up on this one.
Hey, you're listening to
Two Girls Watch TV.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Two Girls Watch TV. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Sina. My voice is very, it's very low this morning.
It is. Damn. Say something like very ASMR-y, like very something very slow.
Very slow?
Yeah.
Like slow motion? Like,
no. Like, crispy potato chips. Like something like that.
Crispy potato chips. This is funny for Danielle because I moved my computer close to me and all she can see is my forehead and my eyes.
She's eyeballs now.
I'm all eyes. Not I'm all ears, I'm all eyes.
You're all eyes. Christina, I have to tell you something.
Uh-oh, what's up?
So, as many people on this podcast have heard me go on and on and on, which is just my current mode. Nicholas.
Yes.
Found a way to stream Spice World. So last night I watched Spice World.
Oh my God.
I have to say that movie holds up. Like, it is still a fantastic movie. Is it corny and cheesy? Yes.
Yes.
Is there a random alien meeting in the middle of the movie? Yes. But damn, it is a fantastic movie.
Okay. All right.
It still holds up. But the Rotten Tomatoes scores are abysmal, and I don't understand. It's like a 38% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, it's a lot of haters. I'll explain it. That's it. There's too many haters out there.
There are so many great points to the movie. Like, the girls are getting stalked by the paparazzi. That's a problem. They're talking about the cost of fame and how to maintain it after their, like, second or third album.
Uh-huh.
It's great. It's a great movie. It means so much. They should put it on regular streaming and not some backdoor streaming that we had to figure out how to stream it on.
Backdoor. Oh, God.
That's one Reddit user figured out, so now they all know.
Ah, that's what happens. They just spread the word.
Can I admit something to you?
Please.
I cannot.
And everyone else.
And
also.
Everyone else. And you all, the collective you. I cannot get behind. I can't figure out Reddit. Like, Reddit is not something that I use frequently.
Okay.
It's just, I don't go on there to just, like, scroll. I don't know. I'm not, like, a big... This is going to sound dumb. I'm not a big reader in terms of, like, people's comments. I'm much more of a visual person. So if I'm doing something passively, I want to be looking at images and maybe, like, two sentences as opposed to just, like, pages and pages of words.
Some of those people write novellas.
Exactly. Like, I'd rather read a book. All right. If I'm reading, I'm reading a book. I don't want to read whatever you have to write on Reddit, which is maybe like half true.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of times I think that, I mean, some people like they have their, you know how it works, right? Like subreddits and all that stuff, like the forums.
Kind of, but not really.
Okay, so there's a subreddit for everything, and Reddit is a big forum-based website, and so there's, like, a lot of these sub-forums, and they have, there's one for, like, there's one for running, there's one for, like, marketing, there's one for what we do in the shadows, there's one for podcast, like, yeah. There's one for everything. And so within each forum, whoever created it has their own set of rules.
Gotcha.
So if it's a highly trafficked, no. I want to rephrase that. I don't like the way it sounds. If there's a lot of traffic in the forum,
yeah.
Is not what I meant to say. They'll make rules.
If it's a popular forum.
Yeah. So they'll be like, these posts can only happen on this day. These posts happen on this day. Because there'll be like too many people just like overly trafficked jam type of comments, or It'll just be like a lot of people asking the same thing over and over again, and people like kind of get tired of answering the same question, believe it or not. So I guess like to kind of encourage people to read through the thread, like, hey, why don't you like command F this shit and see if what you want is here before you ask it. So that's kind of like in a nutshell.
Yeah. I get that. I think the only time I ever really used it was when Big Little Lies was coming out, and I would, as soon as the episode was out, I would go on to see what the discussion is. I think I would also do that with The White Lotus, which that was fun. Like when you get like that new episode of TV and it's like riddled with a bunch of like clues and like imagery, that's interesting to me. And I would like people to tell me when to point that out. But other than that, I'm not actively going on Reddit. However, big thank you to Reddit for you know, Nick found how to stream this, and I appreciate that.
And you're like, damn it, now I have to like Reddit.
I mean, I'm still ambivalent towards Reddit. Like, there's some good, there's some bad. It's not something that I go on frequently.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. Sorry. I thought there was a bug next to me, and I was trying to figure out whether or not I was going to freak the fuck out.
I'm glad you chose not to. I'm glad there is no bug.
I opted for the no. I just saw something in the corner of my eye, and I was like, what the fuck? And then I looked, and it was actually, I think if there was something there, I might have freaked out, but there was nothing there.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So, like, easy, no freak out.
There you go.
Well, I have a solid transition for this.
Go for it.
You started with nostalgia, and we're going into yet another nostalgic series. Or yet another movie in a nostalgic series. Harry Potter 5.
The Order of the Phoenix.
I keep wanting to switch Half-Blood Prince and Order of the Phoenix. Because, I'm just going to say this now because I know I'm going to forget because I didn't write it down, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
They call him a Half-Blood in this.
Oh, and was it creature? Did creature do it?
The prisoner who escaped, what's her name's wife?
Bellatrix.
What's his name's wife? Yeah, Bellatrix.
What's his name's wife? I know who you're talking about.
Oh my god. I haven't had coffee today, so.
Me neither.
Yeah. Tim Burton. Oh my god.
There you go. You got what's it. His wife. Also, world-renowned actress Elena Bonham Carter. She's not just someone's wife.
At 6 o'clock in the morning when we started recording this, now it's 7, Tim Burton was going to come to my head a lot faster. You just needed a moment. Yes, she yells and calls him a half-blood.
Okay.
And so for some reason, that quote always sticks out in my head. I'm like, oh yeah, this is the Half-Blood Prince. And I'm like, no, it's not.
It's not.
Great piece of foreshadowing there.
Yeah. No, I was talking about Creature, the Sirius Black's house elf, who's just sitting grumbling, like, oh, yes. Let these people into my house, my mistress would be so, like, okay, Creature, go to bed.
Good. Where's your IRL moment? Go to bed.
Go to bed.
Did you say that in a recent episode? You're like,
what? I say that a lot. Because there are a lot of people who need to go to bed. Sometimes I need to go to bed, all right?
Everybody has to go to bed at some point, and I think that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Go to bed. Oh, okay. Excuse me. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, not the Half-Blood Prince. Well, both of them are available on HBO, but we're going to talk about the Order of the Phoenix today, and I'm saying that to remind myself because of what I just said confused me again.
Also, you can watch these on Peacock because that is where I watch this.
With the extended version.
Always the extended versions.
How much longer was yours?
I really don't know.
Because my review will go into this, but this was only 2 hours and like 17 or 18 minutes.
That sounds perfect. Sounds like a walk in the park.
Sounds like a lot less than Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh my god. Really is.
Oh, I was out last night and people were talking about celebrity crushes, if I may, before we like dive into the awards nominations. and they were like, Leo in this movie versus Leo in like a current movie. They were like, we like Leo this in this era. We don't like him in this era. I was like, ah, okay. So like Leo in the Titanic, sure. Oh, but Leo yeah. Killers of the Flower Moon. I put my hands up and I was like, oh, and they started laughing at me.
I mean, yeah. No, there was a point when Leo first came out, Leo was Leo. I had a book called Loving Leo that I bought at the Scholastic Book Fair. I mean, let's not forget. But
I'm sorry, you bought books at the Scholastic Book Fair? I just thought they had pencils and posters.
Wild. I usually was a pencil and poster girl myself, but something about that book really drew me to it.
I want to know if more people are buying books at Scholastic. Well, they're not a thing anymore.
No, they are. No, they what? Are. No, they are. Okay, so
for adults,
my I live right across the street from a school, and I see the Scholastic truck pull up with Clifford the Big Red Dog on it once a year. They're there. They still do it.
They should have one for adults.
Nick and I said that we should contact the school and be like, okay, but can you let the adults in? We will.
You can open later for the adults.
Can you, like, yeah, can you open it after hours and the adults will be there?
Okay, bye.
No, we're not affiliated. No, we don't have kids that go to the school.
No, we just want book. We just want posters and pencils.
Yeah.
Oh, what a very nostalgic episode this is turning into. I don't hate it.
It's always.
Clifford, Scholastic Book Fairs, Spice World, Harry Potter. Wow.
There we go.
As the kids say, that's a vibe.
Do the kids say that?
They say it's a vibe. I'm over it. I can't.
I feel like that's outdated now.
Well, the college kids are saying it. Maybe not the Gen Alpha. Also, what a terrible name. Kids have egos anyway. Like, way to go, universe. Thanks for making this worse for all of us. That's where I'm at.
All right, we're going to pivot out of this conversation. Yeah, Let's get back into Harry Potter. Before Christina gets on her stoop and starts yelling at the neighborhood kids.
Stoop kids afraid to leave a stoop.
You kids get off my lawn.
What are the awards, Danielle, or nominations?
No awards.
No awards.
No awards, but let's get, or, oh no, you I have to do your summary.
I'll do my summary. I don't understand how Alan Rickman wasn't nominated like every year.
I know, he's so talented.
And he's fantastic. Okay, that's neither here nor there. I'm going to do what I got to do.
Let me do what I got to do.
I got to do what I got to do. Harry and friends are now in their fifth year at Hogwarts trying to figure out how to navigate through you-know-who officially returning. Hogwarts is also under strict review at the Ministry of Magic, where a new character comes to light. Umbridge is that she's introduced, and she's also the new professor against the dark... No, the new professor for the...
Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Thank you. I was missing a word, and I was like, the new professor against the dark arts? What does this mean? That... Oh, no, I must have been tired. I wrote, she is the new professor against the dark arts from the Ministry of Arts.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we'll just redact all that shit. She's the new teacher for Defense of the Dark Arts. Harry also started a secret training session to help students battle for the dark arts because Umbridge really wasn't cutting it.
No. All right, so Harry Potter, played by Daniel Radcliffe, Ronald Weasley, played by Rupert Grint, and Hermione Granger, played by Emma Watson. Albus Dumbledore is played by Michael Gambon. Mad-Eye Moody is played by Brendan Gleeson. And if you didn't listen to last week's episode, he's a vet on this podcast. He was in Banshees of Inisherin. Severus Snape is played by Alan Rickman. Sirius Black is played by Gary Oldman, who is also a vet on this podcast. He was in The Mank.
Professor Alan Rickman did that too.
Alan Rickman was in The Mank?
No, I said he's a vet.
What was he in? Oh, Love Actually.
Yeah, we did Love Actually.
You didn't call me out last week.
It wasn't Gary Oldman also in... Oh, no, we didn't do that Batman. Never mind.
No, not that Batman.
Yeah, the other Batman.
We did the other Batman. So Professor McGonagall is played by Maggie Smith. Dolores Umbridge is played by Imelda Staunton. Draco Malfoy is Tom Fenton. Lucius Malfoy is Jason Isaacs. Luna Lovegood is played by Ivana Lynch. Cornelius Fudge is played by Robert Hardy. And Bellatrix Lestrange is played by Elena Bonham Carter. So, after the Weasley twins blow up the owls, Harry has a vision of Mr. Weasley being tortured, him repeatedly being asked where the prophecy is, all while being at the Ministry of Magic. Our trio attempts to go there via flu powder, but they get caught by a PO'd Umbridge. They trick her and lead her into the Forbidden Forest with the help of Hagrid's brother Gromp. There was a W in there. He gives Professor Umbridge over to the centaurs, and they run off into the night with her. The whole group of Dumbledore's army gets to the Ministry of Magic, finds the room from Harry's vision, and find the prophecy with Harry's name on it, but no Mr. Weasley. Lucius and Bellatrix arrive at the trap that was set, and they say only Harry can retrieve the prophecy. A chase ensues, and the gang is saved when the Order of the Phoenix arrives. So, where does your ending start?
After Voldemort leaves, Potter is pacing, packing up his stuff, and he has a chat with Dumbledore.
Okay, so Bellatrix Lestrange kills Sirius Black. Harry,
that was part of the climax. I didn't want to take that.
Okay, so Harry follows her, gets really, really aggravated, and attempts the Cruciatus curse on her. Voldemort arrives, and so does Dumbledore, and there is a full-blown fight of the greats.
After After Voldemort leaves, Potter is packing up his stuff. He has a chat with Dumbledore about his connection from the prophecy that has mentioned that basically one must kill the other. Neither can survive.
Mm-hmm.
So after that conversation, he thinks about that, walking through the halls, runs into Luna Lovegood. And she's having some issues because all of her stuff is missing. And so Harry offers to help. This, you know, first time watching it, if you're new to the franchise, you might think, is this a little like love interest? It's not. Don't get ahead of yourself. Okay, that's not a thing. But she's looking for her stuff. Harry offers to help. And she says, it's okay. I think things will turn up. As her mom says, everything has a way of coming back to us in the end. And then we see like a shot up to like the archway of the building, and then you see her shoes hanging. As all the students are like getting on the train to go back to their other worlds after leaving Hogwarts, Harry brings up a good point. He basically says, I think we'll be able to defeat Voldemort because we have one thing that he doesn't, and it's something worth fighting for. Everybody reflects on that for a little bit as we zoom out, and we have a lovely shot of the mountains and the water and the grass scenery right outside of Hogwarts.
Yeah.
This one, again, I wouldn't go out of my way to say that this was it's happier than Goblet of Fire, but it's not really a happy ending. So we've entered like this. You were laughing at me last episode because I played it back and I was like, I'm right. I don't care. They're going into a war.
Yeah.
They're going to a wizard war.
Yeah.
And so like, I feel like from the fourth one on, the endings like may have a little bit of like that up note that you had said from the last episode, but mm-hmm. I also feel like they are a little gloomy because that's kind of like where we're headed.
Yeah.
So a totally happy ending again.
Exactly.
All right, so IMDb gave this a 7.5 out of 10. On Metacritic, the Metascore was a 71, and the user score was a 7.5. It's really, like, on the dot.
Yeah. On Rotten Tomatoes, the critics gave this a 78%, and the audience gave it an 81%.
How do you feel about that? Is that what you were expecting?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's about right.
I'm interested to hear what you have to say. I know we're going to go into our reviews, but I remember you saying, either to me or in the podcast, Goblet of Fire is the last one I remember.
that's going to, I'm going to talk about that in my expectation versus reality.
All right.
I will go out. Yes. And that is something I have historically said.
So may I?
You may.
Okay. I have a review from IMDb. It's a 6 out of 10 and it's called another nostalgic piece to this episode. It's called a Cliff Notes version of the book. You remember Cliff Notes?
I remember Cliff Notes and Spark Notes. You expect me to just read Romeo and Juliet? Pfft, no.
How dare you? What do you think this is? Okay. I've been eagerly awaiting this. They're calling it an episode. I've been eagerly awaiting this episode, thinking it was going to be much more action-packed or incorporating some more of the juicy bits of the narrative from the over 800-page book. I ought to have known going in that 2 hours and 18 minutes of running time, the movie was going to be too short. That's a thing that... Okay. And this is from 2007. This isn't from, like, today.
No. Okay.
Even considering the tweaking that needed to be done to incorporate the information differently than the book presents it, like bypassing the House Elves storyline, at least a half hour more could have been left, could have been left in to really build up the story. The scenes we do see were well acted. There are obvious clues alluding to the final installment, and the special effects were dazzling. But one leaves the theater breathless and disoriented, as if one ate a rich meal too quickly. Especially exasperating considering we had to sit through 20 minutes of TV commercials and coming attractions. I would have paid extra to see another 20 minutes of the movie instead. I like this person. I want to read all the reviews now. sorry they knocked your favorite part of the going to the movies, which is all of
sitting through the commercials and forgetting what movie you're about to go see. Yeah, it's the best part.
What do you got for me?
Okay, so this is a 3.5 out of 5-star review. This is recent. This is from 2024. This entry in the Potter franchise starts to really set up the battle with Voldemort, as Christina said, presenting the imminent war within wizardkind, along with expanding the wizarding world outside of Hogwarts. Umbridge somehow trumps Voldemort himself as a despicable villain in her own unique form of evil. A satisfying ending makes this one a solid solid Potter adventure, but a lot of the second act feels repetitive and the audience is just ready to get to you know who. So.
Yeah.
What did I just do? I clicked. We don't like clicking on my computer. Okay, there we go. it's a tap.
Can I say something?
No, you can't. Sorry.
All right, well, that's all, folks. Thanks for being here.
No, you may say something, of course.
Okay. I'm kind of going into my expectation versus reality a little bit here, but this movie to me, not the book, the movie, felt like we're just bridging the gap.
Yeah.
But like for a long time. This is a long gap to fill. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I remember from this movie. And I feel like it was, there were some highlights, but that.
Yeah. Okay. No, I definitely think so.
But it was me. All right.
After this movie, there are 3 more movies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's Half-Blood Prince, which I don't think I remember a single thing from Half-Blood Prince. And then 2 of the Deathly Hallows, which the only thing I remember is Harry and Hermione dancing to Train, Train, They Never Come. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't, but that doesn't surprise me that that would be the one thing that you would remember. So I'm not surprised.
Anyways, this just kind of feels like it's weird that it's 2 books or 2 movies before Deathly Hallows.
Why is it weird?
I don't know. I think that it would be like 1 and then Deathly Hallows.
You mean after, wait, we only have
after Goblet of Fire, after Voldemort comes back in his full Ralph Fiennes form. Wait, did I mention him?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mention him. Ralph Fiennes. Voldemort. The Menu. That guy. Grand Budapest Hotel. That yes. guy. After that he comes back guy. In his full Ralph Fiennes form. I'm surprised right. that it takes two books to get to the end until, like, that's my surprise. So that's why your comment about this being filler, it's not necessary, or did you use the word filler? I don't want to misquote you.
I just said bridging the gap.
Bridging, okay. It's like a bridge book because it's adding on to the information that we have, but, like, not too much.
Right. But it's huge. I mean, the first three books, like a novella in comparison.
Yeah.
I know we shouldn't really be talking about the books because this is a movie podcast and we're just going to get in trouble.
I mean, your review brought up, I know that this happens, that like Hermione Granger is like very much spearheading the elves being freed in the books.
Oh, yeah.
That's what your review is talking about. And they did just like clip all that for the movies. But also, it's important to bring this up because it becomes, you know, this is the foundation for a bigger conversation once HBO does the miniseries of Harry Potter. So
Right. What
are they going to keep from these movies? What are they going to expand upon that these movies didn't talk about in the books?
I think that there's just, especially if they're not 30-minute episodes, there's just so much more room to play.
Oh, there's no way they're going to be 30-minute episodes. They're going to be at least hour-long episodes. We know HBO.
They have to be, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe the first one will be like 50 minutes and then it'll just go up from there. But I've really grown to like the limited series because I think that there's just so much more room to, there's so much more wiggle room. There's so much more you can get away with.
Yeah.
And we've talked about a lot of movies, The Irishman, being movies that would do better as a limited series.
Yeah. I also think that when you are doing books, especially like a series of books, It makes it so much better to do a miniseries.
Oh, it has to be.
Because books are just like so detailed, so complicated, especially in this like fantasy genre. Why not just do a miniseries?
And you can hone in on those things if it's not a 2 or 3 hour movie. Like instead, I keep saying this, but instead of stretching out how long we think everybody can sit down and watch a movie.
Yeah.
Let's not do it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that, you know, there's now that there is this big push to get people back to the movies.
That's a good point.
Companies make a lot more money of people going to the movies and then also streaming it as opposed to streaming alone.
I wonder if they're going to get to a point where, like, the longer the movie is, the more expensive it is.
I don't know about that because they're just making the sale off of the one ticket. Like, they're making the money from the advertisers who, well, they're not making money off the advertisers because the advertisers, the trailers before the movie are the production companies that, like,
right,
have made said movie. So they're making the money from the distribution to the theaters, and the theaters are making the money there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
To bring us back, I'm just going to say I just hate how Sirius dies. I hate that it's perfectly heartbreaking, but this is a character that we've met for so little time.
Yeah.
And this is a character that I've fallen in love with from the franchise, really and truly.
Yeah. And it also feels very like, wait, did she just say what I think she said? Like that's kind of how it goes. She's like, wait a second, was that the death curse? And then his face drains and he like goes into that Archie thing.
I hate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate that because I feel like this man deserves like his moment in a death scene.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel like it didn't get to happen. It's just like, it was so fast.
It was so fast.
You need more time.
Yeah. He had just called Harry James, too. Like, good shot, James. And you're like, oh, man, this man is so engrossed in this battle. He's forgetting that it's his nephew and not his best friend who is also dead.
It's so, I don't know.
I know.
There's more of him in Goblet of Fire in the book than there is in the movie.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you read the books, you get to spend more time with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different, but I just,
Maya. I know. Milo also had to do a Sirius. It was, so this is another last movie we saw Sirius come through the flames and talk to Harry. This time, this movie, we see it again. However, they really had to cut their special effects bill because they were putting the special effects towards other things. So, like, last movie, he literally came up through the coals and it was so cool. This time, they just kind of, like, put his picture over the flames.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little continuity issue.
That was annoying. But I know why they did it, and it's because they had to spend all the special effects with the Voldemort-Dumbledore fight, which, fair, because that was an epic fight.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Really fun to watch.
It was really fun to watch.
You know how much I love talking about hating characters.
Oh, we want to talk about Dolores Umbridge?
Yeah. They did such a great job of making us hate this woman.
But also, like, such an interesting evil character where on the outside she looks like a cuddly grandma that would give you cookies, but on the inside, she's just pure, pure hatred.
And it's like, for what? For why? For justice? Not really.
Not really. Not really.
It's like, it's so chaotic. It's like a chaotic neutral. It's like, not for you. It's not for me. It's not for right. It's not for wrong. It's just because.
Yeah. I will say, though, she does have one. She can decorate an interior.
Fair.
That's also what makes her so fucking crazy is she, like, the cats, the amount of cat plates that she has, adorable, cute, but like mental and incredible writing. I had written, because you're introduced to two new characters, I wrote my favorite character and then one of the worst characters. One of the best characters, one of the worst characters. One of the best characters, Luna Lovegood. Luna Lovegood is a fantastic character.
It's nice that there's like just a strange bird that's now going to be there all the time.
But she's, okay, she is odd. And she like doesn't go with the flow of the natural flow of society. Is the best way to describe her. But, yeah, but she's so unique and different, and she has such a positive outlook on life. Oh, yes. God, she's fantastic.
No, I remember the first time that I watched this, and I was like, oh, this is now the thing? This is the person that we have to... But I think after watching it a couple of times, I'm like, all right, I could get behind this. I could get behind this strange...
She just sees things differently. And I love that moment where, like, the, I forget what it's called, a Thergal? I don't think it's a Thergal. No, I'm thinking of Nurgles. The thing that was pulling the cart. Where, like, only Luna and Harry could see it. Because both of them knew death, but everyone else couldn't see it.
Yes. Oh, my God. It's on the tip of my tongue.
I can't think of what it's called.
Oh.
And then you see the little baby later.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, she's like the epitome of looking at life through rose-colored glasses.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God.
Which is ironic because she was not in pink.
She was not in pink.
And the person who was did not look at life.
I don't know what kind of glasses that woman is looking through, but she should break those. She should get LASIK. The Weasleys destroying everything with the fireworks at the end of the movie is absolutely fantastic. It's such like a, like these movies we have said over and over again have gotten very dark, but like that's such a fun moment where it's just let's fucking destroy everything. all of the signs come off the walls that Felch was hammering. Yep. I don't know how the hell he hammered that into to stone, but we'll get into that. We'll leave that alone. I loved, like, all the professors just being, like, the one professor being like, yes, here we go. Take her down.
But it's, like, because they build such great hatred, that moment is that much more satisfying, I think.
It's, like, from, I don't know why my brain just made me think about this, a Muppets Christmas character, even the vegetables don't like him.
It's true. I don't know anybody who's like, this is my favorite character in all of the Harry Potter movies. I would not trust that person.
The only person that likes her is Mr. Filch.
That's it. And he might just tolerate her.
No, I think Mr. Filch likes her because he's like, he's become her lackey, basically.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I mean, overall, I said the acting and CGI are improving in great ways.
Yeah.
It's really fun to watch them grow. I just wrote Gary Oldman is like the best.
Yeah. I will also throw in there Helena Bonham Carter. This role was made for her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, no one else could play that.
No, I don't think so. I'm trying to think.
No.
Nope.
Nope, it's her.
So, did you have any lows? Is there anything else that we missed here?
It was just the Sirius Black and the flames.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Now you won't be, well, it's not good news. It's just neutral news, but you won't have any more of that because he's gone.
That is kind of sad.
Oh, I hate it. I can't accept it. I can't accept certain things in my life.
Yeah.
That's one of them. I can't accept The Office being over either.
That one you still can't accept?
I just gotta get around it. I gotta figure it out.
Maybe give it 10 more years and see what happens.
Another decade. Check in with me then. I've been doing a really bad job with these snack breaks.
Same.
But honestly, what I was thinking that I'd want to do is, if you're not going to have a pint of Ben and Jerry's with you while you're watching this, it's got to be movie theater candy.
Mm.
Get you some snow caps or some Mike and Ike's or some of the infamous chocolate covered chocolate chip cookie dough.
Yeah.
Bites. That's fun to say. And chow down.
Do you think that we associate these movies so much with going to the movies because, like, now we stream them, obviously, but because we actually went to the movies to see them back in the day?
I mean, that's a possibility.
Yeah, that's why you watch this and you're like, ooh, you know what I could go for? A snow cap.
Well, now I'm interested because I'm going to have to pay attention to that. I fucking love snow caps. it's going to be interesting to me now because if there's ever anything that's playing in theaters, like, I'm now going to be hyper fixated on what I say. Am I picking movie candy? Or am I picking
look, at-home snacks.
Yeah, and if I'm picking movie candy, is it because it's nostalgic and I want nostalgic candy? Or am I picking it because those are go-to snacks at the theater? So this will be an interesting little experiment that you've now created, Rudy.
You're welcome. Thank you. You're welcome.
What did you eat?
I had peppermint tea.
This is a classic setup now.
Yeah, it's just, oh, you know, British movie, Dolores Umbridge making some tea. I can't have black tea that late at night. So, I mean, her tea looked very, very good. And I do like to drink black tea with milk. Not that much sugar. That was way too much sugar. Yet that woman is still not sweet. So go figure.
I only put milk in black tea. Well, Earl Grey is a black tea.
Yeah, I put milk in Earl Grey, even though, like, I feel like I've spoken to British people and they're like, you're supposed to put lemon in Earl Grey tea.
I don't know if I can bring myself to do that.
Lemon in tea?
In Earl Grey tea?
Uh-huh.
What was I watching? Was it V for Vendetta? No. That's a good movie. You should do that.
I've seen it before.
It's hilarious. It's probably not supposed to be. It's like one of those things. Like, how did you like The Shining? It was so funny.
Yeah.
My fault.
The Shining is a very funny movie.
His faces are make me laugh.
Sweetie, anyway. Darling, light of my life. You don't let me finish. Okay, anyway, continue.
It makes me laugh. People are like, and I'm chicken shit. You know this.
I know. It's not really a scary movie. It's a beautiful movie, but it's not really that scary.
It's so good. It's my favorite horror film.
Because there's so few to pick from. Because you haven't seen that many.
There's a lot of them. No, thank you. No, then of things. I've not seen that many. I've seen like double digits.
Okay.
Which is, I think, surprised all of us, including myself. I just did some fast math in my head without coffee, and I think I got 10.
10? Okay.
Yeah, not including the scary movies. I didn't.
No. Those aren't really scary.
I don't even remember the point I was trying to make, so we can just move on.
We were talking about tea, putting a lemon in Earl Grey.
Oh, yes. What is that movie with Tom Hanks?
You need to be more specific.
Oh, I know. I didn't really set this up well. Da Vinci Code.
Okay.
I think it's Da Vinci Code where he meets with the professor and they ask him a series of questions to get in, and it's like trivia, trivia, I guess. It's not, but it's like kind of, it's me making that up. But one of the questions that they ask is coffee or tea? And he says tea. And then he goes, okay, what do you put in this type of tea? And they say Earl Grey. And he says lemon. I'm like, lemon? You put fucking lemon in Earl Grey tea? So that's what it made me think.
There you go.
All that just to say that.
Yeah. But we, in this podcast, we don't put sugar in our tea. That's disgusting.
I really don't.
I don't even like iced tea. I don't like sweet tea. Blech. It's gross.
No, in my green tea, sometimes I'll put honey with lemon. But sometimes agave if I don't have honey. But I don't, not my black tea.
No. No. Mm-mm. No.
Yucky.
Gross. I don't even put sugar in my coffee.
I don't either.
I don't like the only sweet beverage in my mind is Diet Coke.
That's it. I phrased it in my head was the only aspartame I want in my life.
That D Coke baby.
So yeah, I got you.
All right.
What was your expectation versus reality?
So to add on to what we were saying earlier is like, yes, I have always said I only remember 1 through 4, but I actually surprised myself because I remembered a lot of this movie and I completely forgot that I remembered it. You ever forget that you remember something until you start watching it and then it jogs your memory and like, oh, I know what's going to happen next.
It's like a memory unlocked.
Yeah.
Huh.
This is just laying with the door closed in my brain. Look at that. I also...
What triggered it for you?
What happened?
What triggered it for you?
The room of requirement. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, I remember how this movie goes down. But I also remember... like the press around this movie, because in the trailer they had to show Harry Potter kissing for the first time, and that like got everyone freaking out.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
But he's like an adult at this point. He's like a young adult, isn't he?
He's like 15 in the movie.
Yeah, I know.
The character is 15, but Daniel Radcliffe, he's probably like, what, 18, 19 in this movie?
Has to be.
I can fact check while you tell me your expectation versus reality.
I just remember this movie being a movie that leads up to a climax, like that bridging the gap type of thing. But like not the climax of this movie, just that it was the end of all the movies. I also, for some reason, thought Sirius Black died one more movie over. But I think that's really because for so long, I just wanted to see more of him. And I'm like, nah, he can't go in this one. He's got to go in the next one. Just making it up.
Let's add more time. Can we renegotiate this?
If I could... No, I won't do it. It was me.
Wasn't even you. Just to confirm, Daniel Radcliffe was 18 when he made this movie.
Has to be.
Yeah.
So
he was born in 1989. Like, the movie was 2007. If so okay. facto.
No, that makes sense.
18.
But I get, look at what they're doing on TV now. Oh my God, that sounds so old. Look at what they're doing now. Oh my God.
Stop. Have you seen what they're doing on the television these days? They let anything go. This HBO, man.
They really get
raunchy on HBO.
I meant like on TV for kids. Like this was scandalous then, but I feel like this stuff happens on shows now, and it's nobody bats an eye.
I mean, it wasn't scandalous. It was just like Harry Potter kissing, and you're like, "Whoa, Harry,
oh,
Harry."
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't like anything. It's not like, you know.
I don't. All right, remind me. We're both gonna forget, but remind me when you do the last one. When we do the last one, to talk about Ginny.
Okay.
Because I don't want to say anything yet. Just in case, if anybody's been living under a fucking boulder.
Oh, fuck. Okay. All right.
I'll hide. Did you have an IRL moment?
I realize I have, like, some idols from this movie that I want to be. Mrs. Fig, who is the, you know, the woman who, like, is the witness to Harry Potter with the Patronus charm in the beginning of the movie. And she's just kind of like a little old lady pushing a cart around, just kind of being nosy. She's my goals. So it goes Mrs. Fig, Luna Lovegood, and Professor Trelawney. Those are my, and we'll throw Professor McGonagall in there, those two. Those four women, those are my role models.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Doesn't surprise me.
No.
I don't know if I had an IRL moment. I was trying to think of one while this was happening. I mean, it was tough. It was tough. I do like to wear pink.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that really cuts it, but I've never pointed a wand at a student, so I don't know if I should.
No.
But I'm hoping I'm going to be more diligent, because I think this is two episodes in a row where I'm like, I really couldn't. Fucking balloons. Sorry. I put twos up and then the balloons came up. I'm going to try, because this is two episodes now where I keep saying, I don't know if I have an IRL moment. So I'm going to be diligent when we do the third one.
You're going to find one.
Yes. Half-Blood Prince. I will find something. Watch. This will be impossible. But I will. I'll find something.
Okay. Mark her words.
Mark my words. I wanted to go back and just, it's Grop.
Grop?
Yeah, I looked it up and I forgot. I wanted to bring it up.
So not Grampy, it's Groppy?
It's Grawp. You're right, there's a W in it.
I thought there was a W in it. I remember reading that.
Otherwise, I think that's everything.
I think that's it.
This was the first time that pre-recording, we were like, this is going to be a shorter episode.
It's like 48 minutes, 50 minutes.
Never mind. I have no concept of time. It's fine. Anyway, we're on Instagram and Twitter at Hey It's Two Girls. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Classic Cena. Danielle's on Instagram at Danielle Kobianki. Send us an email. We got some stuff coming up in June, but we'll take requests for July. And we're only doing movies in August. I don't give a shit what anybody says. Our lives are just so chaotic.
Yep.
In good ways, but there's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then the YouTube channel is Two Girls Drink Beer. What are we doing next week? Next week is Bridgerton Season 2.
Mm-hmm. Because we never did it when it first came out.
I don't know why. We kept talking. This is one of those.
I watched it.
Yeah, but I was going to watch it for the podcast, and then we weren't doing it, and I was like, all right, I've got to shift some things around on my end. So now I will watch it.
I need to refresh my memory, even though I just recently rewatched it, because the new season of Bridgerton, or the first part of the new season, is coming out on the 16th.
I don't know how you do this. I don't know how you rewatch so many things in preparation for the newest season.
You just don't, you don't have to pay attention to it completely. You just have it on the background and have it jog your memory.
All right. It's just, it's dedication.
Yeah. There you go.
You're not a stubborn person, but I feel like that's where, if there was stubbornness to you, it's that. You're like, I'm gonna do this. I got this. Like Game of Thrones. I don't know how many of you know this, but because I don't remember if we said it on this podcast, because we did, when we started the podcast, we could have covered the last season, but we just chose not to, mainly because I didn't watch all of the other seasons at that point. But I remember you just saying, I've watched the first season of Game of Thrones like too many times. And
Too
I'm like, how
many
many times?
times.
And you're like, well, how many seasons are there?
Yeah, because I would rewatch each season every time a new season came out. I got to the point where I stopped watching season one because I just knew it too well.
It's a very good season.
It is. It is. I also, I'm not going to say what I have to say because I don't know if people have watched it. Some people have not watched it, and that's fine. But there's a big thing that happens, and you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah, it's, we could do a best of Game of Thrones episode where we talk about the best moments and the worst moments.
We could, now that we've all watched it, we've all being you, me, and all of our personalities.
That's it. And you got to get on The Sopranos
I
because
know, I know, I need to.
Barducci's like, when are you going to do The Sopranos? And I'm like, whenever Danielle finishes it. And then he told me to tell you, for every day you don't finish it, he's going to dock you 10% off your flight. I said, I'll tell him.
That doesn't work. I already got the diploma.
He just starts subtracting after
Starts
your diploma.
like with one of those like big paper cutters, just cutting my diploma slowly. Inch by millimeter by millimeter. Shink. Okay.
Oh, too funny. Anyway, that's it. Thanks everybody for listening. We'll catch you next week.
All right, bye.
Bye.
What's up?